Genesis 21, verse 8. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is true. In Jesus' name, amen. Actually, we left off in verse 8. We'll pick it up in verse 9. And it says, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. For 13 years, Ishmael, the son of Abraham through Hagar, was his father's only son. For 13 years, it was Ishmael and his dad doing father-son type things together. For 13 years, Ishmael was the only heir to his father's huge inheritance. But then when he was 13, along came this miracle child, Isaac. And everyone is talking about Isaac. And Ishmael doesn't like it. So in some manner, he picked on Isaac and scoffed at him. And of course, Isaac's mother, Sarah, doesn't like it. 10, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Sarah wants Hagar and Ishmael out of the house for good. She sees them as a threat to her son Isaac. And like any good parent, she is fighting mad when it involves protecting her child. Verse 11, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Ishmael isn't the miracle son, but he's still Abraham's son. And Abraham loves him in spite of his imperfections and sins. A godly parent's love for their child is a hard thing to quench. And that's a reflection of God's love for us. We do many bad things, and yet not enough good things. But we can never extinguish God's love for us. Verse 12. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And I don't think that's what Abraham wanted to hear. But what God is saying is, don't go by your feelings, Abraham. Do not let your feelings dictate what you do. God says, Sarah is right. Now do what she says. God has called men to be the head of the home. But he has not called men to be unyielding dictators. God expects men to at least listen to advice from the rest of the family. Measure it by Scripture and act on it if it is the correct thing to do. 13. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. God is saying, yes, Abraham, I'm telling you to send your son away. But I also want you to know that I will take care of him. Abraham's going to miss Ishmael, but he can trust God to take care of him. Eventually, every parent experiences what Abraham went through in one form or another. And it is faith that God loves our children that gives parents the strength to let them go and to endure in a situation like this. 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it unto Hagar, put it on her shoulder, and gave her the child and sent her away. Now, this had to be the toughest thing that God ever asked Abraham to do, so far anyway. But notice how he got up early, and he got right at it. Abraham always did that. When God is telling us to do something that is very hard, we shouldn't put it off. Do it before our sin nature or the devil gives us 100 reasons not to do it. And then the last part of verse 14, well, let's read the whole verse again. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and gave her the child and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. A skin of water and some bread doesn't seem like much, and it wasn't. But it wasn't unusual to travel like that. There were many small settlements, and people would normally take only enough to make it to the next settlement. Hagar and Ishmael ran into trouble because they got lost. They started wandering. Verse 15. And the water was spent in the skin, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down apart from him a good way off, as it were a bowshot, for she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat apart from him and lifted up her voice and wept. It seems strange that a 16-year-old boy would run out of energy before his mother, but that's what happened. I don't know, maybe he gave his mom most of the bread and the water. Who knows? The important thing is that things were looking very bleak here. Humanly speaking, I would say they were hopeless. 17, and God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." And I can tell you why God heard the voice of the boy. It's at least in part because 4 years earlier, his father Abraham prayed, "Oh, that Ishmael might live in thy sight." And Ishmael will live because God will answer that prayer. Verse 18, "Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad drink. Now, it doesn't say that God quickly dug a well. It says that he opened her eyes and she saw a well. They were so overwhelmed with their trial that they couldn't see the blessing that was there in the midst of the trial. Sometimes the answer to our problem is right in front of us, but we don't see it until after we pray. 20, and God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. God told his mother years earlier that Ishmael would grow up to be a wild man. And here he is living in the wilderness, the perfect place for a wild man to live, I suppose. It is happening, just as God said it would. 21. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And that would make sense, I suppose. His mother was an Egyptian, and they were not far from Egypt, so Ishmael marries an Egyptian girl. 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spoke unto Abraham, saying, "God is with thee in all that thou doest." And this was the Abimelech that Abraham had lied to when he said that Sarah was his sister, not his wife. Abimelech knew that God was with Abraham. When God Almighty appears to you in a dream and says, "You are a dead man because you have taken Sarah, Abraham's wife, into your harem," that was the first clue that God was watching over Abraham. But it's not just that. Abraham is over 100 years old, Sarah is over 90, and they have a little boy. That's not normal. That's an act of God. It's easy to see that God is with Abraham. and is making Abimelech very nervous. 23. Now therefore swear unto me, here by God, that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. Abimelech knew two things about Abraham. Number one, God was with him. Number two, Abraham could not be trusted. That's sad, but it's true. And that's why Abimelech wants Abraham to promise that he would never pull another fast one on either him or his family. God will forgive a Christian's dishonesty when they confess, and the offended person should forgive. But trust doesn't come automatically with forgiveness. Trust must be earned over time, and Abraham just hasn't earned that yet. 25. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. Wells were very valuable in those days. It took a lot of work to find water and dig a well. And Abraham is upset because his servants did all the work. They found water, they dug a well, only to have it stolen by Abimelech's men. Abimelech must have been pretty tough. He must have had a pretty tough group of men, because Abraham was no slouch. At any rate, since this seems to be the time for straight talk between Abraham and Abimelech, Abraham rebukes him over that stolen well. 26, and Abimelech said, I know not who hath done this thing. Neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. Abimelech had no idea that his men had stolen this well from Abraham. If someone offends you, confront them. That's biblical. But do it with gentleness. They may be unaware of what they did. They may be unaware of any sin. In this case, Abimelech was. 27. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs that thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me, that I have digged this well. Abraham gives 7 lambs to Abimelech and says, By receiving these lambs, you are acknowledging that this well that I dug belongs to me. Talk about bending over backwards to get along with someone. Abraham, in essence, just bought his own well. Abraham swallowed his pride and went way beyond what anyone would expect in an effort to keep the peace. God's word says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If we do our best to get along with someone and there's still strife, well, at least we know that God knows it's not our fault. 31. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swore, both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Beersheba means well of oath. So Abraham is living in the land of the Philistines, Beersheba, and we will see what happens next time. Brace yourself. Chapter 22 is coming up. God will test Abraham in the next chapter.